Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my blessed beloveds out there in virtual land, virtual radio land. It's been a stellar week with lots of interesting things that have happened. Just going to fill you in on a little bit. As I told you last week, I was honored to go and visit Michelle Lowry's horse, Echo, and that was just an amazing experience. I could have been there all day. It was just so relaxing, and we had lots to talk about. Echo is this gargantuan, stunning horse who his nickname is Yoda, which I thought was very appropriate. And he has a life partner named Shay, who is this gargantuan, beautiful redhead. Of course, my heart pitter-patters for the redheads. And Dasha, who is Michelle's dog, was just a beautiful greeter. He came running after me to greet me, and it just was wonderful. So that was a beautiful experience, and I was very glad to spend the morning learning more about Michelle and what she does and how powerful her work is for so many people. It is rainy again here, and energy levels are definitely pretty darn low because, again, you need that sun to feel a little pizzazz in your step. Today we're going to be speaking with Curtis, who is I ran into a couple of years ago from a friend of a friend of a friend. He actually manufactures a line of gluten-free soups that are incredibly delicious, and in honor of celiac awareness, we will be talking to him a little bit about what he does, why he does it, and how he does it, and he should be dialing in at some point today. The second half of the show, we're going to open up, and we're going to talk a little bit about inspiration. It's been a very wild week with many people all over the world that I've been working with who just are in this place of healing and needing inspiration and just, you know, cosmic hug, a universal hug. So I figured that would be an appropriate way to spend the rest of the time. Feel free to dial in. We will be opening up the phone lines, 347-205-9443. We have an exciting few shows coming up, absolutely. And again, I'm grateful to be the messenger and to provide all of these wonderful different healing modalities for everyone. And what resonates with you is great, and what doesn't is great. This show is for you, about you, and inspired because of you. So thank you for giving me that that honor and that privilege to be there for you at any time of the day, because you can download the archives and listen to it, which is pretty groovy. We are universal, meaning that we have people in India and Turkey and Japan and Russia. That was a new one for me. And all over the world, people are listening in, so feel free to call. Also, sign in for a free account so that you can chat with us. We love to chat, and I love putting Amy on chat because gives her something to do. Last week, we had Ann Sosa, who is a shamanic initiated, I have to be careful how I say that, elder, and that was a pretty incredible show, too.
I'm going to be meeting with her next week sometime.
Oh, you are? Oh, good. Yeah, I'm trying to circle around to meet with her again, and we just haven't seemed to connect. But that was a very interesting show and had lots of feedback, so thank you for that. The feedback is great because at least we know what you want to hear and what you want on this show because, again, it is inspired by you. And we are at that place where I have to say, you know, sponsors, we would absolutely love to have sponsors. I pay for the show out of my pocket. So any donations or sponsorship would be greatly appreciated. And for more stories, July is looking a little thin, so if you have anybody that has an inspirational story or a healing modality or something of value, a great offer that you want to hear on our show, feel free to send us an email or go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/celiacroads, plural. And just ping us. Let us know. We are there for you. So it looks like Curtis has joined us, so I'm going to say good morning, good afternoon, good evening to my fabulous co-host, Amy, who's suffering from a little bit of a migraine, so hopefully she can get through today.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. Just once in a while I have to deal with those, so, you know, you just get through it. And it's just going to be a quiet day for me. It's been pretty busy. I'm getting ready for recital with my girls, so
mm-hmm.
you know how busy week that can be.
Yep.
So probably that's the reason for my migraine.
Chaos, mayhem, craziness.
Yeah, but it's all good.
Any updates for you from your world?
No, it's pretty calm right now. I am looking to open a Reiki circle, which would include children, hopefully
mm-hmm.
in June. So once I have some dates set in stone, I'll let everybody know when and where.
All right, groovy. Absolutely groovy. And for those of you who wanted us to follow up on the fire walk that was going to happen this past weekend, unfortunately it was changed to July 15th, I believe. So did not get to experience that, though Chloe and I raced like crazy to go. I think enriching your child with various experiences that have of positive nature is hugely important. And unfortunately, we were unable to do that this weekend, but we will keep you posted as we grow and learn. So hello, hello, hello to my buddy Curtis, the soup guy. Fabulous.
Hi.
And
how are you?
I am very well, and I'm starving. Where's my soup?
It's right here.
All right. I missed
I
it last farmer's
down.
Market.
I just gulped it down.
Oh.
If I have the hiccups, it's that's why.
Oh, fabulous. So give us a little about you. Who are you? What do you do? Amy and I are privileged to have eaten your food and raced to the farmer's market as many times as I can to buy more. So give
yeah,
us.
I think Amy has even worked for me for a couple,
yes,
couple times.
Yes, I did a few shows,
right,
which was really fun.
Yep.
Well, I own a company that I started about 2.5 years ago. It's called The Soup Guy. And I manufacture a line of all-natural, gluten-free soups and chilies. And I market them primarily in the Seacoast region of New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Maine at local farmers markets. And my business has grown to the point where now I have 3 crews that travel around, so we can do as many as 3 markets a day, but we're not doing that. We usually do 3 to 4 markets a week,
mm-hmm.
and I'm making, at any given time, I'm making usually between, say, 65 and 125 gallons of gluten-free, all-natural soups and chilies per week. So we're doing pretty well as far as being able to find our customers out there,
mm-hmm.
and it's an exciting business, and I have a lot of fun doing it.
Well, I know personally working with you that it is a lot of fun back there serving the soup, and everybody loves it, including myself. Whenever I see him, I always have to, especially that new breakfast thing that you do. I'm
mm-hmm.
addicted to that. What inspires you to make things like that? Because I've never had anything like that before.
Well, you know, I think of myself more like as an artist than I do a businessman or an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I feel like that what I do is that I, instead of using, you know, my hands to make a sculpture or paint a picture or take a picture with a camera,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm making things that you can eat. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sort of painting with the flavors, if you will. And I don't know, you know, tell you the truth, I don't know where a lot of this stuff sort of comes from. It just sort of comes. And I've always had this ability, and I don't know if it's sort of, it's like an intuitive thing, where I can read a recipe and I can pretty much tell what it's going to taste like just from reading mm-hmm. the ingredients. So that's always served me really well in knowing sort of combinations, food combinations, and knowing kind of what works with what and, you know, ideas that you might not think, mm-hmm. you know, would work actually can work really nicely. So, like, for instance, right now I'm making a Cuban citrus black bean soup. And basically it's, you know, it's a citrus kick to it, but it's a black mm-hmm. bean soup. And
wow.
that's a great soup in, you know, when it's soup weather. But also it's a wonderful soup when it's hot because you can serve that as a chilled soup. So it's a really diverse type of soup. So, you know, there's these ideas just sort of come to me, and because I have a nice big commercial kitchen,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have the luxury of being able to sort of try things out a little bit mm-hmm. and sort of tweak them. And then if it really works, then I get out the calculator and I figure out, okay, what's this times 300 or whatever.
Right.
And in order to make it work. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's, you know, I'm not trained. I'm not, like, classically trained, but I can tell you as a child and growing up, one of the things I used to love to do was watch, what was her name on PBS? I forgot.
Julia Child.
Julia Child. So I used to love watching her and Graham Kerr, the English guy.
Yeah, I remember those.
And I just, you know, I mean, when everybody else was sort of like watching Batman, I was watching these shows for some reason.
That's awesome. So what happened? You just woke up one day, Curtis, and said, "Hey, I'm going to make some soup and sell it." Like, what was your point?
Well, I was like everybody, like many people, I was sort of trying to figure out what to do when the economy sort of tanked.
Mm-hmm.
I had been in the construction business and for many years, and that just pretty much dried up. I spent sort of a year or about a year and a half sort of trying to figure it out. I did a lot of writing. I did a lot of, you know, just traveling. And I ended up going into a small little deli type restaurant and one day and ordering a piece of quiche. Now, where I come from, which is the Philadelphia area, quiche and soup kind of go together for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just
mm-hmm.
it's just they do. So when I ordered the quiche, I was looking for the soup, and I asked the person behind the counter, "Okay, so where are the soups?" And she said, "Well, we don't sell soups here." I said, "Really? You've got quiche, but you don't have soup? That's
mm-hmm.
Interesting." And just sort of, you know, out of nowhere, I said to her, "Well, would you like to have some soups?" And she said, "Sure." And I said, "Well, you know, I make some good soups, and maybe I could make some and bring it into you and see how your customers like it." She said, "Fine." So, you know, that was sort of exciting. And I wasn't thinking of this as a business. I was just thinking
mm-hmm.
of, you know, next time I go in there, I want to make sure that there's some soup.
There's soup.
So, yeah, so... So I went home and I rustled up whatever I needed to get, and I made what I thought was just like a lot of soup. It ended up being 9 quarts, but for me, you know, that I used the biggest pot
mm-hmm.
I had, and I made a butternut squash. I mean, a real basic soup, sort of a
mm-hmm.
butternut squash type of soup. So I brought that in and. You know, we figured out how to charge for it and that kind of thing. And then I went home, and about 4 hours later, maybe less, 3 hours later, she called me up and said, "Could you bring some more of that in?" And I said, "Well, I didn't make any more. That's all I made." And she said, "Well, it's all gone." So I made another batch of about the same amount and brought that in, and she sold it out again the next day. So So then I thought, well, maybe there's something here. Maybe I can, you know, it was exciting because, you know, when you make something and people actually put their money out for it, it's a little different than when you're serving people at home and they go, wow, that's good. You know, I mean, they're actually like, it's nice when that happens, but when people pay for what it is that you made, it's very, it's quite a bit of validation that you're doing something right. So I just began to provide this particular place with soup, and it did really well. And from that point, it just kind of worked into, I knew that there were farmers markets. This was in, I think, November and or October, and the winter farmers markets were just about to get going in this area. So I thought, well, maybe I can take this and do it at a farmers market. So I contacted the Seacoast Eat Local, which is a group that sponsors winter farmers markets in this region, and asked, well, how do you get involved with this? How do you plug into this? And they said, well, you fill out these applications, and you need to do this and that, and blah blah blah. And it was so I did it, and I went to one of those. There was a market coming up, and I went to it without not being a vendor. I just went to it and walked around, and I saw sort of what was being offered, and I saw, you know, the quality and I thought, wow, I can do this. I mean, you know, there wasn't anything there that I felt, you know, that I couldn't fit right in with. So I went and that's how my business began. And it started out very sort of organically like that, very small. And I, you know, one of my children grew up being gluten intolerant. He was never diagnosed as being celiac, but he just had a hard time dealing with gluten. So I had many years of cooking, because when you have one member of your family like that, you pretty much will cook for the whole family that way. So it's just a lot easier to just cook one way and then instead of making something special for that one person. So I had just gotten used to, over the years, creating gluten-free food. And, you know, at that time, years ago, the word celiac wasn't really out there. People were saying things like wheat allergy, stuff like that. So he had a wheat allergy. So so it was a natural thing for me to, when I started making my soups, to make them as a gluten-free product, because it wasn't hard for me to do that. And so I think I sort of tapped into a, sort of a raw nerve there, because if you're not gluten intolerant and you're eating a product like mine, it makes no difference. I mean, you're going to enjoy it one way or the other. If you are gluten intolerant or a celiac, then, you know, you really are going to appreciate it, because it's something that you can eat and know that you're not going to have any kind of adverse reactions from.
And trust me, when you go to the farmer's market as a celiac and you're starving, and the, you know, I was grateful and am grateful that you are at the farmer's market, because I am just so hungry when I get there with all the smells of all everything that, you know, is there. And you would think that I would be 500 pounds with the way I eat. I eat like a teenager. And
lucky you.
I know, right? So having you there is just a huge blessing. If we could clone you and put you in every farmer's market in the country, unbelievable. I'm telling
that's
you.
My plan.
So good. That's your plan.
Well, we'll help you get there,
the
Curtis, because his soup is just divine. It doesn't matter to me if it's gluten-free or not. I'm grateful that it is, but it really doesn't taste. It's delicious, and my kids actually like gluten-free food better than regular food, I'm finding. But, what was that spring lavage soup that you made last year?
That's a English pea and lovage, which is a
lovage,
sort of a wild celery. Yeah, lovage is a wild celery that grows around here.
It is so delicious.
Yeah, that's a good one. The other thing that I try to do with my business is that I try to source ingredients to the local farming community here. And being at a farmer's market is great because I can make contacts with growers. Mm-hmm. And I've got relationships with many different farms who actually now are growing product specifically for me. So that's really nice that the business mm-hmm. has grown to the point where I can, like a farmer knows that two or three, you know, rows of something are definitely going to be sold because I'm going to be buying them. So that's also a very nice feeling that I have, that knowing that that I'm providing dollars to the local agribusiness, and God knows mm-hmm. we need to support local food in a big way, just because our food supply is just so contaminated, for lack of a better word, yeah. with chemicals and you name it, salt and it goes on and on and on. So being able to provide a market for local farmers to sell their products, which is what farmers markets do, but my business actually is part of it is buying from those people as well. So mm-hmm. I feel really good about that. So but we were talking about getting into every farmer's market. The grand plan for this business, and this is something that is just sort of, we're in the embryonic stages as far as I'm concerned, is that because I have a commercial kitchen, I want to be able to, if you think of a spoke or a wheel with a hub in the middle, the hub being the commercial kitchen, the spokes being the outlets for where you could go and buy this product. And what I'm looking to eventually do is to set up the Soup Guy Cafe and Juice Bar, which would be outlets where people could come and eat my product hot there. They could mm-hmm. have it hot to go, to take back to their office or on the road or whatever, or they could buy it in frozen containers to take home. Essentially, what I'm doing at a farmer's market is I'm bringing the Soup Guy Cafe to the farmer's market, if you will. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's great to do that, but I would like to be – but a farmer's market is 4 hours on a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever. So my concept is to create a business where I have three or four spokes coming off of the hub, mm-hmm. maybe one in Portsmouth, maybe one in Dover, maybe one in Newburyport, et cetera, maybe one over in Concord. These are all areas where people know my product and mm-hmm. know of the product. And that's, you know, and what I would be doing if that is successful could be cloned basically anywhere in the country. I mean, you could take that concept and pretty much run with it anywhere. So,
yeah, so are you planning to franchise out, or are you planning
we're getting way ahead of my
your plan,
the whole thing. Yeah,
I do that.
But, you know, the particulars as to whether I would franchise it out or whether it would be, I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet. But, you know, I kind of, you know, it's sort of baby steps. And I'm now focusing, as we speak, on the first Soup Guy Cafe in the area. So that's the, you know, I'm working on putting the energy out and the
now where is that going to be located?
It's going to be right in Dover, just because that's where my kitchen is. So the first one I want to have close to me so that we can so it isn't a big deal to yeah, exactly, and make sure, kind of tweak it, make sure that it's running properly, and that, you know, work on making sure that the hours that it's open are correct and that kind of thing. And once we mm-hmm. sort of get that going, then you guys are familiar with the local Me and Ollie's in this area.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's basically the same concept as that. It's, they have one central bakery, and then mm-hmm. their outlets are provided the fresh breads and whatever they mm-hmm. make, muffins.
Yeah. I noticed they just opened up a drive-thru in Greenland.
Uh-huh. Yep. So, So it's exciting. In fact, I do.
That's very
exciting,
Curtis.
Yeah, I'm at the Portsmouth Farmers Market as a guest vendor for the next five markets, and me and Ollie's has a booth set up there as well. So they see the value of sort of getting the word out at farmers markets as well. So I would continue to do the farmers market. That's sort of the core business. That's sort of the foundation. But the Soup Guy Cafe and Juice Bar is sort of the next level, the next step for a business like mine. And the juice part of it is great because I'm a vegan, and I pretty much eat gluten-free anyway. And the thing I love to do next to soups is to make smoothies.
Yeah.
And I make these incredible smoothies that are just like to die for, I must say. So being able to offer that as well, because there's great fresh fruit produce in the form of peaches and apples and grapes and you name it around here. So I want to be able to include that as well into, not to mention carrots and all the root vegetables and all the traditional juices that you're familiar with. So that's the next part of my business. And also, if anybody out there wants to know a bit more about what I do, if you go to thesoupguy.net, you can find me there. But I'm more proactive, I must admit, on my Facebook page. I just find it a lot easier to kind of put information up, and it's just more fluid, and it's easier than figuring out my website. So So
is there a schedule where the markets are going to be? And
I don't have a schedule as such on Facebook. But what I do is that I encourage people just to tune into my page every few days, because I do announce every week where I'm going to be.
Right.
So
give us your Facebook page.
Okay, it's www.facebook.com/thesoupguy. Pretty simple.
Okay.
All one word.
And you have the Best of New England Award on your profile picture?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. I was
that's a huge honor.
Voted. Yeah. In my first year of business, I won Best of New Hampshire for soups, and that was that sort of came right out of left field. I didn't even know I was in the running for it until I got the package in the mail telling me that I won. So that's nice. And also on my both the Facebook and the soupguy.net site, there are links to some television programs that have featured me, and you know, just background information and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not technologically, you know, advanced, so I struggle a little bit with that part of my business. But it's there if you sort of dig around, you'll find it.
So on a personal note, I find it intriguing. I never knew that you were a vegan. And a lot of the soups that you have actually have meat in them. So is your preference of being a vegan just personal health choice, and you're okay with it's not a morality choice like most? So talk to us a little bit about that.
It's just a personal health thing. I read a wonderful book called Eat to Live, and it really inspired me. And many, many years ago, actually years ago, in high school, I became a vegetarian, and I sort of was a vegetarian for into my 30s, I believe. And then somewhere in there, I began to sort of, you know, get out of that cheat here and there, you know, like most, like a lot of vegetarians do. And then, you know, over the years, I just began to reintroduce meat back into my life. And just a short while ago, I just became very, it became clear to me that I needed to be proactive with my health. It was just, because it creeps up on you. As you get older, you begin to sort of, you know, your blood pressure might go up or your cholesterol or whatever, and you begin to sort of, then you can easily get sort of sucked into the doctor gives you the statin or gives you the cholesterol medicine or whatever, and you start taking that, and then, you know, pretty soon it's just like you're tethered into the medical world with drugs, and I realize it's just sort of like, wait a minute, I know too much to be to go down that route. And I just, it was sort of an epiphany, if you will, when I picked up that book, Eat to Live, and it just made so much sense to me, and it was like, you know, I know this stuff, and I just, you know, and also I think it's more in keeping with the kind of business that I have, that, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to be making healthy, gluten-free, all-natural soups and then go to McDonald's.
Right.
You know, for lunch, you know, so not that I was doing that, but I just feel like that that, you know, it's nice to walk the talk, so to speak. But I don't try to foist being a vegan on anybody. That's my personal choice.
Right.
And if you want bacon in your chowder, then that's fine because mine has bacon in it. It just is nitrate free and it's hormone free, and I get it from a local farm. So, you know, if I'm going to put beef or bacon or whatever, it's going to be farm raised as much as I can afford to into my soups. And you know, being a vegan is not something that is necessarily for everyone, because it really, you know, I understand food. It's, you know, I understand food probably better than a lot of people. So for me, It's not that hard to be a vegan because I know how to cook, but for a lot of people it is difficult, and so I don't try to push that down anybody's throat. And I think if I, you know, it so happens that I usually will always have a vegan soup of the three that I'm offering at any given time, three or four that I'm offering, there'll always be a vegan alternative. There'll be a vegetarian soup as well, and then there's usually a soup with some meat. So I try to cover all the bases. The one thing that's consistent through all those is that, A, they're going to be gluten-free, and B, they're going to contain locally grown produce.
So feel that you're living your passion, going from being a carpenter getting up at 4:30 in the morning or whatever? And,
well, I'm getting up at 4:30 now.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Right. But you're not getting up to climb on top of a roof.
No,
you know?
I'm not. And, you know, it's like when I was doing carpentry work, I was enjoying it, but I was never passionate about it.
Right.
I've always been pretty handy with my hands. You know, I've always been able to fix things and sort of MacGyver things. But I was never passionate like I am now. And I think that when you figure out what it is that you're supposed to be doing, it's a whole different feeling. It's a whole different energy that you sort of tap into. Because I believe that we're put here to do stuff, that we have missions, that each person that is alive is here to do something or to do something. And when you're in alignment with whatever that is, the universe sort of opens up for you in a very different way than it does otherwise. And unless you experience that directly, you don't really know what that means. But when you do experience it, it's like, oh my gosh, you know. And I do feel like that what I'm doing now is my passion. You know, it is. I feel like it's in alignment, if you will, with my purpose.
Yeah.
And so that has its own perks and benefits. But also when that happens, you'd be surprised how much the rest of the world sort of lines up to help you. And that's been my experience of being in this business, is that all sorts of doors have opened up for me and continue to open up for me every day, every week. So, and I firmly believe it's because I'm following my passion. I mean, where do we get these passions? I mean, where do they come from? Who knows? I mean, you know, if you're religious, you can call it God or whatever. But somewhere we're kind of, there's something within us that
right.
wants us to be a certain way and to do certain things. And when you're sort of in alignment with that, it's sort of the difference of swimming upstream and just letting go and letting the current take you. And that's,
mm-hmm. yes.
for me, that's sort of what this business has been like. But it took me 50-some years to figure that out.
mm-hmm. But that's okay. You have to go down your own path, your own way. And if it takes you 50 years or if it takes you 5,
right.
good for you. I mean, you've done it.
Yeah,
you've found it.
Yeah, and you know what? You have expanded quite a bit by the sounds from just from last year.
Yeah, he
you
has
know.
Actually. Last year you were, was it last year? Yeah, it was last
yeah.
year you were just putting your kitchen together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's right.
So how
yeah,
cool!
I,
what a great journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
and I, for one, am looking forward to being able to pick up your soup. Very close by.
yeah, so give me a little bit more detail, and this is my selfish side because I am close by for the time being. Are you going to offer bread products and things like that, or is it just strictly soup and juice?
No,
warn
there'll be
me
bread
now.
Products. There'll be bread products. There'll be, but I'll have a gluten-free breads separate from, you know, to kind of avoid cross-contamination.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have
okay.
breads. I'll have regular breads, baguettes, and that kind of thing that will be provided by a local baker. But I'll also have gluten-free alternatives for people
mm-hmm.
as well.
Okay. Cool, so we can eat safely.
It won't be a gluten-free restaurant, if you will.
Right.
But it will have... you know, and I know that there's different levels of sensitivity to gluten, and I'm pretty conscious of that, having had a child who was gluten intolerant. So I kind of know like the do's and don'ts and what you
yeah.
can and can't do as far as that kind of thing, and as far as storing products
mm-hmm.
next to each other, you can't do and that kind of thing.
All right,
but
so
our,
big
yeah.
shout out to my buddy Curtis, the soup guy, who keeps me happily fed and a whole bunch of us locally happily fed,
mm-hmm.
gluten-free and not. Just as a reminder, it is Celiac Awareness Month, so big shout out to all of you gluten-freeers out there. Give us a call. The number here is 347-205-9443. And totally excited to have a place to go and grab a bite to eat that's safe for all of us in the area locally. And I have quite a few people on my Facebook page that are local celiacs as well that are just going to go crazy about this whole thing. So thank you, Curtis. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Helping out our community
like
in so many ways.
Well, it's a, again, you know, it's a work in progress, and I'm not there yet as far as being able to give you an address and say come on in, but we're working on it and we're getting there. It's
yay.
You know, like all these things, it takes time and it takes money. but we're, you know, I'm working on that particular side of it to raise the mm-hmm. capital and to.
Now
you know,
said you're
going to
be at the
that.
Portsmouth Farmers Market. Anywhere else this week?
Yeah. Well, the next 5 weeks, I'll be every Saturday at the Portsmouth Farmers Market. Every Sunday, I'll be down in Newburyport at the Newburyport Farmers Market.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're sort of in a little bit of a lull of farmers markets because the winter season just ended, but the summer hasn't really
kicked
in yet.
Won't begin until like June, right?
Yeah, well, middle of June, towards the end of June is when those markets really kick in. And when that takes place, I'll be in Dover. We'll have a vending booth set up at the Wentworth Greenhouse Farmers
mm-hmm.
Market, which is every Saturday morning. Rusty, I know you've been to that a few times.
I go there a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
But if I have to go to Portsmouth to see you, Curtis, I'll go to Portsmouth.
Okay, well, you just can then come to Portsmouth because that's a very good market. And it's great, you know,
it
great
is a good
community
market.
Of people. Yeah, good community of people there. So I'll be there. That market starts at 8 in the morning and runs until 1. So I'll be there this week. And last week was the first day for that market, and that went really well. And that was also the kickoff for the summer markets down in Newburyport. That's another really, really dynamic group of...
Now, where was that again?
Newburyport, Mass.
I didn't get to go to that one yet.
That one is really something else. It's really quite amazing. And I think that one was voted best farmer's market in Massachusetts or something.
Wow.
It's quite a good market.
Now, that's on Sunday.
In the summer, when the summer season gets into full swing, we will be also at the Marblehead Farmers Market, which is in Marblehead, Massachusetts. That's about an hour south of Dover and Portsmouth area. And then on Thursdays, we're going to be at the Salem, New Hampshire Market, which is Thursday afternoons, starting, I think, at 4. And then we will also be doing on Sundays, the Salem, New Hampshire market, which that's on Sundays, and that one starts at 12 and goes until 4. So we are placed pretty full as far as markets this summer.
No Strawberry Bank this year?
No, not Strawberry Bank. The only local market that I'll be represented at consistently through the summer will be at the Wentworth Greenhouse.
Okay.
And that's sort of right in my backyard. That's
right.
2 minutes from my kitchen. So that'll be the market where the local people can buy my stuff. Also, if there are any local listeners here that want to know where they could buy my soups, you can purchase them at Genato's Market in downtown Dover. You can also get them at Durham Marketplace.
I knew that.
In Durham, New Hampshire. So I bring them fresh in there every week, and the ones that don't sell, I take out. So you have fresh soups in there, and the shelf life. I mean, they're in a chilled area in the store, but my soups are good for 10 days basically. So you're well within the 10 day range when you go in. Pick them up. They're in pint-sized containers, and you can take them home and eat them up.
And trust me, you do eat them up because the pint size is just not big enough for some of us. Thank you, Curtis. You're going to have to double that.
Well, you're just going to have to buy two of them.
I usually do. One to go. So what other exciting adventures are you looking into at this point in this wild ride? You manifested this beautiful business that's obviously you've got two large fans here. Where
Isn't
else?
Isn't that enough?
You don't feed me enough, Curtis. I'm wilting here.
Have you tried the breakfast soup?
Yeah, you brought it over last time you saw him.
Yeah, that breakfast soup is an interesting. That was an interesting soup.
It's
and
very
I will,
interesting.
I will. Unfortunately, that soup has. That's a seasonal soup, by the way.
No.
That's more of a winter kind of porridge kind of thing. So, unfortunately,
I eat it every day.
Unfortunately, I'm all out of that. I'm not planning on making that again until the fall. So you're just going to have to make do. Sorry.
Denied. So, Curtis, give us some of the flavors that you have. You know, what types of soup can some of us locals can enjoy?
Well,
right now
I'm making... making and selling three different flavors of soup. The Olé Mole Chili, and that is a mole treatment which contains a little chocolate in it,
yum, yum, yum,
and a little dark roasted coffee. That's right in the chili. It's really good. I mean, that chili's fantastic. And a great way to serve that when you get it is to go bake a big old russet potato. And when it's all done, you kind of open it up and just ladle the chili right over that potato. And no need for anything other than that. No need for oil or butter or anything. It just will. So in essence, you're kind of what makes a baked potato really fattening is this, you know, is everything we put on it. So when we're putting the chili over it, you're doing good things. And all my soups are low sodium, low fat, gluten free. So there's the Olé Mole chili, and that's vegan as well. I'm also making I mentioned before, the Cuban citrus black bean soup. That's vegan as well. And then the third soup is the corn and bacon chowder, or what I call it, chowda. So, those are the three soups that are currently out there. They'll probably be the pea and the lovage soup that you were mentioning before.
Yeah.
That'll be coming out within the next month because
good.
The lovage now is coming into its own, especially with all this rain we've had. So that'll be coming out soon. And I change up my soups throughout the summer, especially based on availability of product and based on what is what farmers are harvesting at any given time. So, the green peas, the spring peas are starting to come into their own. So that'll probably be the next one. And then, as the summer progresses, there'll be other ones. And it, like last year, I think I figured out I made, I think it was 18 or 19 different soups. The year before that, I think I did something like 26 different kinds of soup. After you're in business a little while, you begin to sort of figure out what people like, and I just find that I can't be too exotic as far as the soups. People up here in New England, they tend to be somewhat conservative, I would say, in their food selections. So the two things that people seem to be, it doesn't matter if it's raining or sunny and it's 100 degrees or whether it's 30 below, everybody likes chili kind of any time of year, and everybody seems to like chowder any time of year. So those two soups have sort of worked their way into the lineup consistently. I'll do variations on those, like I'll do a corn chowder with shrimp, or I'll do a corn chowder with bacon, or I'll do a vegetarian corn chowder for a while. The chili is great because right now it's a vegan chili, but I can do turkey. I've done turkey. I've done buffalo. I've done Angus, black Angus. It's essentially the same ingredients, except that I just, instead of putting in the meat, and now it's a vegan chili, I use TVP, and I have a source for texturized vegetable protein, in case anybody doesn't know what that is. And I have a source of non-GMO organic TVP that I purchase. Unfortunately, it's not local, but it is a product that I'm really happy with, and it's sort of a meat substitute for people that anybody that eats veggie burgers or anything like that, they're eating texturized vegetable protein, basically.
Yeah, my daughter's a vegetarian, and she loves Soup Guy's soup.
Good.
She's in Utah, so she can't get your stuff right now, but maybe we can send her home with some.
Or maybe you can buy it and send it out to her frozen. There you go.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. She's coming home in July, so I'm sure we're going to be making a stop by to see you.
Okay, good. And also, anybody who's local, you can always try and stop by my kitchen, which is located at 1 Washington Center, which is the big mill building in downtown Dover. And I'm in Suite 1015, which is on the first floor. So people are welcome to to knock on the door and see if I'm there, because I'm usually in there cooking.
Oh, yay.
Monday,
you just
Tuesday.
Opened up a whole can of feed in one. Amy and I will be out there with signs. Feed us.
I tend to like to work early in the morning, so I get usually I'm in there around 6, and I try to get out of there.
Well, now that invitation's been put there, I'll be coming over after work.
We're on our way.
you'd have to get there early, because after 12, you're probably not going to catch me. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, I'm always in there. So
okay, great. That's good to know, because I definitely need to get some chili, because my family doesn't like it. I'm the only one, so...
So why don't you give everybody, we've got about 40 minutes left of the show, and I know that would actually probably is a very large surprise to you, but give us your contact information.
How many minutes left?
You've got about 30.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So contact information. Well, again, it's thesoupguy.net, www.thesoupguy.net. You can also contact me through Facebook, which is facebook.com/thesoupguy, all one word. And then what else? Smoke signals.
Smoke signals, exactly. That's the catchphrase here on the show, because sometimes people send us smoke signals, and it's been so rainy, I haven't received any...
Lately.
2 weeks. Good gravy.
I have a business line for my that I'm talking to you all on telephone, and that's area code 603-801-2957. If people want to contact me that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to the day when I can announce the grand opening of the first Soup Guy Cafe and juice bar, which...
Well, you let us know, Curtis, because we will shout it from the rooftops, the internet, and everywhere else we can find.
Actually, we should do, Curtis, and this is just my master plan, because I'm one of those crazy mad scientist business types.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should do a live radio show from the soup kitchen.
That would be awesome.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Videotape it. We'll videotape it and put it up on the... Yeah. YouTube and some of the other places that we go. That
would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
totally
fun. So we got you back, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
no,
we'll
be
the first ones
at
the door.
Go and feed me, Seymour.
Feed me.
Yeah, no, that's
now, would anyone be able to, I have a couple of events coming up this summer. Would you be able to accommodate people who wanted to buy, say, in bulk, like crock pot,
Yeah, I actually have customers that come up to me and say, you know, my daughter's getting married and we'd like to serve your soup, or we're having a big party at our house. Can you, what would it cost for? And, you know, I find out how many people are coming, and then I recommend to them how much soup that they should buy. So, yeah, I do have that buy in bulk, and usually I sell it to them by the gallon. And,
okay.
You know, each week since I'm making my soup fresh every week, it's not a big deal for me to, if I know that a certain amount is going to be sold, in addition to what I would normally make based on the markets that I do, I just add in that little bit of extra, and there it is. So,
great.
Yeah.
Great. That's good to know, because I get a few of those coming up this year, so I'll definitely be in touch about that.
Yep. And it's sort of like the pricing differs based on the amount. So a 5-gallon bucket of soup is going to be cheaper per quart than, you know, 3 quarts of soup or gallon.
Right.
So I just have to kind of I'm not trying to be cagey there, but it's just and also depending on the particular soup, because sometimes people will make requests for a particular soup that I might not be making at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want enough of it, it's worth my while to make it.
Right.
So I have one lady who is in love with my Parisian lentil soup, and it's a green lentil soup with organic carrot in it, and she can't get enough of this soup. So she occasionally buys a couple of gallons from me just, and I, and that suit might not be in production, but I'll just make it for her because she's buying enough of it to make it worth my while. So
I see.
I have that.
And it freezes for how long, Curtis?
Forever.
Oh, good.
soup is a really interesting thing because I don't know if you all have had experience making stew or soups yourselves. And if you notice, the next day after you heat it up and you first serve it, the next day it tastes even better.
After
that, it tastes even better than that.
Yeah.
So there's about a 4 to 5 day cycle with soup, and that's because of the liquid aspects of it. I mean, there's science behind this, but
right.
What's happening is that the soup, the cells, if you will, in the spicing are opening like flowers, if you will, the longer that it sits there. So, and the act of heating it up again will cause that reaction. So soup just tends to get better and better. So what I do is I make it, and then it's flash frozen, and then the act of you heating it up will actually make it taste better than when I just made it. And if you happen to freeze it again, which you can do certainly with all my vegan soups and my vegetarian soups, you can do that. And then the act of heating it up again, or just putting it in the refrigerator and just leaving it there for a day or two. So that's kind of one of the neat things about soup that's different than just regular.
Well, I guess that's
food.
What I'm going to have to do with your porridge come this fall.
Just make sure you put a gallon on the side.
Yeah,
that
if I know ahead of time,
good.
I can do that. I can do that. Well, if you wanted to order, I'm serious. If you wanted to order like a couple of gallons to be frozen so you'd have it over the summer, just let me know and I'll work it out for you.
Okay, I might do that.
We do, that's a neat soup. It's got organic blueberries in it and strawberries, and it's got organic sunflower seeds and almonds in it.
It's so good.
It's dairy-free. It's a soy-based, but I've also made it with almond milk. And it's flavored with blue agave, which is what they make tequila from. But it's
that's why I like it so much.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3 and, floor.
And it's just a pretty neat soup. And when you're not eating it as a soup, you can serve it chilled, and it's like a wonderful rice pudding because it thickens up.
I'm not a big.
Little bit.
I don't like. I love breakfast foods, but I can't eat in the morning, and that seemed to settle good with me. Like I could eat that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I'm trying to get into eating earlier in the morning, and either that or oatmeal is about the only thing, or yogurt sometimes, that I can do in the morning. So,
well, you know, for all the people out there that are celiac or gluten intolerant, oatmeal is kind of off the menu for them.
Right.
But this is a gluten-free alternative to oatmeal. So
that's
actually why I created it, because I wanted to. People would come up to me at markets and go, "Do you have anything for breakfast?" And, you know, I can say so many times, you know, chili, it's not just for lunch anymore.
right.
But I couldn't. So I developed that breakfast soup. And it's funny because it sort of hit a nerve there, because a lot of people really have been coming up and saying they really like it. And that they want to see it again. So that's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah. I know that if more people tasted it, actually tried it, because I was kind of iffy, if you remember, about trying it. But I did, and it was just fantastic. I mean, to look at it, you're like, okay.
I know. It sort of looks like cement when you're making
mortar.
Mortar.
But
it does. It has
so
that same
good, though.
Look.
It is so good, and my daughters love it, too. So, I may be contacting you about that.
Sure.
But, just everything I've tried of your soup, not one soup have I tried that I did not like. And I'm a soup gal. I make a lot of soup myself, and I've had the privilege to work with Curtis on a few occasions. My daughter and I kind of was helping him with a couple markets over last summer, and it was really fun. My daughter enjoyed it a lot, and as well as I did. So you know, I'm glad that you're doing really well and prospering, because that's what I hope for you, because it'd be it's not easy to find you all the time. So I'll be very happy to be able to fill my freezer.
Well, good. I'm glad you like it so much.
I do. I tell everybody about you, but we just don't want to find you. So.
Yeah. Now that you have the Facebook thing, you know, if you like me on Facebook, you'll know every week where I am and where our cruise will be. And it's also, now that you know, it's in Geneva's and over in our marketplace.
Yes, that's not too far down the road.
You can always go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
All right. Well, listen, I have to run because I'm in the middle of my work day here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been great talking to you guys.
Absolutely. But before you run, don't forget to give us your contact information so that everybody can reach you in their way.
All right. Well, one more time. It's www.thesoupguy.net. If you do that, you'll get, there's a widget right on the front page there that can link you to Facebook. Or you could just go to Facebook directly, which is facebook.com/thesoupguy, all one word. And you can always give me a phone call at area code 603-801-2957.
Awesome. And thank you so much, Curtis. And what a great story you have, and I'm really glad that you shared with us everything. It's really, really a great business, a great product, and in honor of Celiac Awareness Month, it was perfect timing because we need more people like you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Right. I enjoyed being on your show, and it shows up as a link on your on your
Facebook
page.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll stick online and we'll spread the word.
And I'll be tracking you down soon, Curtis. So.
Yep. Just look blonde out in the parking lot going. Curtis, have
a
great day.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
Bye,
I'll
buddy.
See you guys later. Okay.
Bye bye.
Hey, you've been listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty and co-host Amy Breggy. We just got off the phone with Curtis, a.k.a. the Soup Guy, who keeps us quite happy with his variety of yummy flavors and keeps the community quite happy with purchasing local and, you know, keeping it healthy and organic. And what a great guy.
Yeah,
great story.
He has a lot of stories. I'd said that I had the privilege of working with him, and through the entire day of working with him, he just tells stories about all his foodie stories, I call them. It's really fun working with him. He really loves to share his stories, and even he's shared his recipes with me, which I won't with anyone else, but I actually had the privilege to make soup with him help him during a time when he had surgery, to get the markets done, and it was really fun time for me to see, because it's such a bare bones business, you know, he does a lot of it, the heating up of his soup, at that time it was in the infant stages, how much far he's come in 1 year is astounding, because we were heating up his soup in his kitchen at 5 a.m., or down in Dover at the kitchen, we were heating up the soups and putting them in turrets in the back of trucks. And, he had two trucks going out at a time. Now he has four. So he's doubled in 12 months' time. So that's very exciting to hear of a local guy that has such a passion of, bringing back the community farming, the community trading, and, that's what we need to get back to is, providing our community with food instead of reaching out abroad, I think that's what we need to get back to.
I think we need to stop genetically modifying everything,
yes.
But
well, that's what he meant by
crazy.
That's why when he said GMO, non-GMO, that's what he means. So, it's free range that he uses. And, a lot of people don't understand that piece, what's so, fabulous about his line, that it isn't just, a lot of people are for profit. So they buy the cheapest meat and the cheapest ingredients so they can make a profit. his sole way of making his soups is, you know, and when he can, there's very rare times that he has to outsource, you know, any ingredients. And I know that for a fact because I've gone to the different farms with him and picked up, you know, ingredients. And, you know, he does buy right there from the local farm. He'll have me run the store, so to speak, and he'll go around and go shopping. You know, so I've been there when that all happened. So I know what he's saying is the absolute truth. And what's going in, and besides all his good energy and love that he puts into his soup, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I'm grateful to have Curtis on, and I think it's wonderful that he's making such a huge effort to support the community, support the farmers, and support those of us with food allergies. And I don't, like he said, you know, you resonate with something, and that's your passion, and it becomes a very large tree of change and miracles happen. So it's beautiful. Call in. We're getting ready to open. We're going to take a quick break, not a long one, but a quick one. And then we're going to kind of change gears a little bit for the last 20 minutes of the show and talk about inspiration. We've had a lot on my Facebook page. There's been a lot of conversation. And so give us a call at 347-205-9443. And Amy and I are just going to tap into that just a little bit for a few minutes before we close out for today to give you some food for thought for next week. Next week we have another gluten-free company coming on. I believe it's Larry of Simply Shari's, and he's got an incredible, incredible story. I think he died 3 times. So he's got some pretty amazing things to talk about, and I'm looking forward to next week's show as well. What a life I live. I'm so blessed. All right, taking a little quick break, and love you, and be right back. In honor of time, we had to make that as quick as possible. And now that we're shifting gears, I have a question for Miss Amy, who has lots to say. What is inspiration to you, Amy? Because we're not going to get into a whole big thing. I just want to kind of touch a little surface and give food for thought.
Inspiration for me, well, I have what you call big inspirations and little inspirations. I'm starting in this part of my life right now, I'm noticing more of the little inspirations, like the laughter of my children and the birds of, you know, people don't stop and listen to the birds, and just inspiration of, you know, someone coming up with a great idea, like, you know, the soup guy, you know, just hearing things coming from a very infant stage and watching it grow into fruition is really, really an inspiring thing to watch. So it can start out with a little thought and then grow into something larger. And I'm seeing a lot of people, because of the economic, you know, slowdown that we've, you know, dive or nosedive, so to speak, that we've taken, it has kind of forced a lot of people to reach into their inner entrepreneur. So you're seeing a lot of people actually reaching for their desires, where before they were just going to a job to make money. It wasn't their passion. Like Curtis had said, you know, he enjoyed carpentry, but it wasn't passionate for him. I felt the same way with healthcare. You know, I did my job, I did a good job, but there was something missing from that until, you know, I had lost my job in the economic slowdown. And it kind of forced me into what I'm doing now, which I love. So, you know, those things are inspiring to see that happening more and more right now. I'm in touch with more people that are inspiring to me that I can sit and notice and, you know, learn from.
Absolutely. And I have to tell you, I had a most amazing, tear-jerking morning with one of my students. I love this person. She is so incredibly talented and just amazingly gifted with art, craft, not crafty, but the craft of art and music, just amazing. And her personal journey has been very intense, and she is going to be 60 years old, and without giving up too much information, she is at a place, this huge change has happened to her. And now she's at this place where she wants to share the, to the, you know, give the world this beautiful gift that she has. And it was amazing to watch the words that came out of my mouth that inspired her to do that, and the healing that came from that love. And what she doesn't realize and didn't realize at the time, and probably won't until next week when we sit down again for another hour, is how much she inspires me. So for me, with the relationships that I have with people and the people that I've met over my journey, that's my inspiration. It's the connections, it's the words, it's watching my students just blossom.
I have that in my work as well, and it's so rewarding.
Yeah.
It's so rewarding, and way beyond monetary reward.
Absolutely.
And when you can go home at the end of the day, so to speak, because my work schedule is, I'm kind of at their mercy, time-wise, what's good for people, in, you know that. But to go home at the end of the day and really truly feel like you made a difference in someone's life, and it's not... It's not like an egotistical feeling. It's such a gift that you get to experience that with that person.
Right.
And that you have made a difference for the better for this person for the rest of their life.
Yep.
And we learn from each other. And I think a lot of, you know, your students, my clients, don't realize how much we learn from them.
Absolutely.
As much, if not more sometimes.
Yep.
That, you know, they learn from us. And it's such a gift to have that exchange.
Yeah, absolutely. And so my Facebook has been very active with inspirational pieces from my heart, as well as pieces that I collect throughout my journey as a healer and a coach and a mother and a shopper and a, you know, bill payer and all of those things that we do. And it's Facebook has been incredibly busy. And so if you want a daily inspiration, definitely go on to facebook.com/celiacroads, CELIACROADS, and check us out. Amy's on there often. We chat back and forth. Amy has her facebook.com at / Earth's Energy.
Yep, and you can also just look my personal pages, Amy White Greggy. But my Earth Energy page is connected, so I can usually see if you put anything on there. I have them interconnected. You can also check out our schedule at yourearthenergy.com about where, usually where I go, Rusty follows, or vice versa. So if she's doing a show, I'm usually not far behind. And if I'm doing a show, she's usually not far behind. So hopefully we'll be getting some live productions going this summer, I'm hoping. Soup Guy, that's one of them.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I would really like to approach Salmon Falls Nursery and do a show out in her perennial garden, which would be beautiful and fun. You know, it would be fun to go around different places and be in different, you know, surroundings.
Environments, depending on how our cell phones work. That's been a little bit of an issue. But, so, you know, feel free to ping us or give us a quick call. We're running out of time. We've got about 10 minutes left. 347-205-9443 and talk to us about inspiration. I think sometime in June we're going to host an entire show and have a panel of people to really talk about what sparks you, what makes you feel better. What, you know, I have my manifestation book that I sleep with. I love this thing. And I put all my happy, smiley things that make me happy and resonate with me and make my vibrational energy raise. So if I'm ever feeling down, I just open it up and boop, there's my inspiration. And I create more when I'm inspired. And I think, you know, like Curtis with his method of creation is soup, and it's such a blessing because, you know, you got to nourish your body and you have to have those good ingredients to be creative and run your day. With other people, it's music that resonates or art or hanging out with kids. It's another inspirational piece. I love watching the kids play in the backyard, and lately they've been making music videos mimicking the Alvin and Chipmunks soundtrack, which kind of resonates against the grain with me, that voice, but the joy, the pure and utter joy that it's on my kids' face every afternoon after school makes it worth having the grinding against my personal taste there. But so can you think of any other inspirational things? I know we have a lot of listeners, but
well, you know, the thing that I've been focusing on lately is just, you know, being in the now, in the present moment, which I've struggled with for a long time, but I think I finally got it. And so each moment is a blessing, and you savor those moments. And before you know it, your day has gone by, and there's less stress. And, you know, I had a epiphany last night where my entire family and I did a family meditation because I've been struggling with migraines, and I didn't go to my meditation class that I usually go to on Tuesday night. So Todd said, well, let's meditate here. So it just, where I've been inspired to meditate and slow down, my family is now doing the same with me. So that was very inspiring last night as we sat there for 40 minutes. A 10-year-old and a 7-year-old and my husband and I in our little circle of meditation, listening to the Tibetan chanting monks. So that was really nice. Everybody fell blissfully to sleep, and that was really nice that he just came up and did that, you know.
To support you.
Yeah.
Yep. And so there was a give and receive.
Exactly.
Piece,
and that's what it's all about.
Which our next relationship show is going to talk a little bit more about, you know, reciprocation and how to nurture each other. Because if one person is nurturing and
the
other one is not,
it's unbalanced.
It's very unbalanced. And my post yesterday was in regards to that being very much like a garden. And so we've got a lot to talk about this summer, I have a feeling, and a lot of people to bring on. Favorite inspirational quote of the day. Can you think of one?
Well, yeah, I put it on my Facebook page. I'm trying to remember what it said. Basically, every moment is a moment of renewal. So what that means is every moment of the day is an opportunity to renew. So if you said a curse word or you said something or did something, every moment is a new moment to renew. So, you know, don't beat yourself up. Don't, you know, everybody has their moments. So you just have to get back to that balanced place. And that's all it is. You know, once it's done, it's done. Don't worry about it. And Thich Nhat Hanh will say, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself.
And as I was telling my students this morning, you're not a coat, so let yourself off the hook. You're just
like
not
that.
A coat. Mine for the day that I highly recommend that everybody say over and over and over again, either in your head or out loud. I think out loud sounds better, is life is a gift. I accept it. Life is an adventure. I dare it. Life is a mystery. I'm unfolding it. Life is a puzzle. I'm solving it. Life is a game. I play it. Life can be a struggle. I'm facing it. Life is beauty. I praise it. Life is an opportunity. I took it. Life is my Life is my mission. I'm fulfilling it. And I just think
that's great.
It, you know, definitely is open to any aspect of who you are. And if you just say it a few times a day for the next week,
like Curtis had mentioned and Amy mentions often, things unfold for you. Miracles do happen.
They do. And I love what Curtis said about just letting it be, letting it flow, instead of either trying to catch it. You know, we always seem to be running, trying to catch something. Just slow down and stop and let it catch up to you. It really does happen. You just, we have no patience in this society in the United States. And if everyone slows down that saying, stop and smell the roses, you know, that's what it means. Stop, slow down, appreciate that rose and the smell of that rose in that moment. And once you start doing that, your life just unfolds for you the way you want it to be.
And I think it's hard. We're not taught
to do that.
We're taught to be very constructive, very analytical, very doing. You have to meet these numbers. You have to meet these deadlines. You have to hurry. You're not doing it fast enough. We're given this constant negative or confusing direction throughout our entire life. Hurry up. Let's go. We got to go. We're late. You know, hurry, 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 hurry. And when you don't practice stopping and smelling the roses, and you don't practice, and it's not a habit, it's very hard to all of a sudden, you know, slam on your brakes when you're going 90 miles an hour to do that.
Right.
So it's to be inspired and to inspire others, you have to practice inspiration, and you have to practice taking the time to find your own inspiration so that you can inspire others.
Exactly. And I'm just, you know, learning that whole game, but a good example is I had to bring a relative to the hospital, and she's always nervous about being late, so she's incredibly diligently early, which is not a bad fault, but I could tell that she was nervous, that she, you know, because we weren't leaving at the time that she would have wanted to leave. And I kept telling her, you know, we're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get stressed out. And we hit every single green light.
Mm-hmm.
And on the road that I traveled 236, that's really impossible.
It isn't.
and my aunt was like, how did you do that? And I said, because I let the worry go.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, instead of saying, I'm going to be late, when you're telling the universe you're going to be late, guess what? You're going to be late, and it puts in those obstacles in place to make you late. When you say, nope, I'm not going to be late. We're going to be right on time. Everything opened up, and I proved that to her in that moment. And
in that process, you inspired her to take
exactly.
a little bit extra time. So it's all a cycle. It doesn't matter if it's someone at a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said to me, why do you always get the best parking spaces? How do you do that? And I said, because whenever I know that I'm going to park, I say, I get the best parking spaces.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's my mind. That's my train of thought. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the nonsense is exactly that. It's just nonsense.
And when there's others witnessing that happens,
right.
then they will take the time to slow down.
Right.
And that's what's happening in my life. I'm noticing people in my life that were impatient, and including myself, that, you know, because, you know, I worked in the corporate world for so long. It's so hard to break those habits. But what a freedom it is to live that moment by moment. It's the hardest thing to do, but once you do it, it's really enlightening. You hear things in nature. You hear, you see and hear, smell things that you wouldn't have because you were too busy being hurried.
Crazy, chaotic craziness. So, but anyway, we just wanted to dabble into inspiration and thought processes. I think it's important.
And this is also a year of manifestation, if we remember some of our seers that were on, like Ann Susser, the initiated elder. You know, some of the people that we've spoken to have said that this is a year to manifest. So if you have something that you've been thinking about doing that you are passionate about, this is the year to do it. You know, research it. Go out there. Go talk to someone in the industry to find out how they got started. People love to help each other out. So go out there and you know, do what you're passionate about doing.
Mm-hmm. Become inspired so that you can inspire others.
Exactly. It works that way, too, because I know a few of my students, they're out there doing their own thing, and that makes me so happy that, you know, they're not tied to that. You know, some people love working in corporate, and that's great, but there are some of us, like myself, that just don't roll well in that situation.
Like I was telling my students this morning, you're not a box, you're a tree.
Yeah.
You're a tree. A box is made from a tree. So think about that for a while.
Yeah, the other quote I had, well, now I remember that you said the tree part.
Mm.
Enlightenment is like a tree. You have to continually feed it and for it to grow or it will die. So our enlightenment, our passion to enlighten others or to, you know, inspire others is giving you that closer step to the enlightenment process, because that's one of the things towards enlightenment is to do what you're passionate about. That's one of the very first steps.
So to circle back around before we close out the show, my largest message, and there's a very distinct reason why we're having this conversation, a couple of my listeners out there need to hear it over and over again right now. In order to inspire, you need to allow yourself to be inspired. So make sure that you put yourself in places that are true to who you are, authentic to who you are, and that feel good. And get out of places that no longer feel good. And then your relationship with yourself will grow into a tree. And each branch will be a new inspiration. And for some of you, you can see kids hanging off those trees and using that inspiration as well. So allow the inspiration to come to you. Be true to yourself. Be authentic to yourself. And make sure that you're giving it to other people as much as you're receiving. That's my biggest message for today, I think. Any parting words for you, Miss Amy?
No, just be good to each other, love each other, and be well.
All right. Well, we're going to catch you next hump day, humpity hump hump, Wednesday, rocking it out with my homies on an international base. See you on Facebook. Hear you on the airwaves. Call in anytime. We're here for you. Rusty's out.
Amy's out.
Later, Gators.